Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for September the 11th, 2017. This is David Corey along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. I'd like to say that if the reception of my part of the interview or my part of the show is not that clear, please forgive me. I'm having to call in on my cell phone as someone that lived in the path of Hurricane Irma, which flew over us in Florida here last evening, taking my landline phone with it, so to speak. So, looking forward to a great show. Hello, Richard.
Hey, David. How are you tonight? And welcome to our listeners. And before we get to the show, yeah, David, I understand you're also, along with 6.5 million Floridians, you're without power tonight. And I hope that gets turned back on to you. But, for all of those out there who aren't familiar with the show, we are broadcasting live from the Tampa Bay area, and we did, in fact, go through quite a past few 72 hours of dealing with Irma, but she looks to be north of us, and hopefully she will get away from the United States for the rest of our lives anyway. But for all of those out there who were not spared Irma, my heart goes out to you. I was fortunate enough I missed the bullet. And but I do know there's a lot of suffering going on out there. But we're Floridians, and we're Hurricane Hardy. I also want to, as David mentioned, today is September the 11th. So I think we need to remember 9/11. I know our president gave a ceremony earlier this morning in remembrance of 9/11. But I think it's, as a Veterans News Hour show, it's important for us to also remember that date. I'm sure many of you know where you were when that happened. I myself was living in the New York metropolitan area. So this day for me brings back a lot of memories, including the loss of a couple of friends of mine, one who I've known since third grade, Tom Glasser. And we also, there are a lot of veterans, David, that we represent today. When I ask them, why did they get involved? Why do they enlist? And so many of them earmarked that day, 9/11, when President Bush made a call to arms, and so many young people reached out after graduating from high school and joined the military, specifically to fight for the United States and to cause some retribution to what happened on that infamous day in New York City. So let us remember all of those who were lost in the towers as well as at the Pentagon. Families, they become veterans too, veteran families, because those were civilians, but they died really in an act of war. So so much has happened since then. But we'll continue with our show, and I'd like to thank our sponsors for tonight's show, including the American Legion, Post 303 of Bonita Springs, Florida, Mr. Charles M. Newman of Florida, and Corey and Hurley Law Group, which represents veterans in disability cases and military personnel actions throughout our nation. I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions, so you can call us anytime during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Back to you, David.
We have two outstanding guests on our show tonight. The first will be Mr. David Malsby, who is the Executive Director of the Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Foundation of America and Camp Hope. And our second guest will be film director and producer Greg Lovett, whose recent documentary on illnesses caused by open burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan will be released early next month. The film is called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers. Since we have a lot to cover tonight, let's begin. As I say, our first guest is Mr. David Maulsby, the Executive Director of the PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope in Houston, Texas. He has 27 years of ministry experience, most of those as a pastor. David was the first member of the PTSD Foundation staff to meet and mentor veterans. Instrumental in the creation of Camp Hope, he now leads in development and financial support of the work of the foundation. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. David Maulsby to the Veterans News Hour. Mr. Maulsby, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, and glad you guys dodged the bullet of Irma tonight.
Well, we can sympathize with what you all in Houston have gone through, although you all had it far, far worse than we did. As you know, Hurricane Irma was a pretty fast mover, unlike Hurricane Harvey, which just sat over Houston for days. So how are you all doing in that regard and recovering from the hurricane?
Well, much of Houston is at least up and running, but there's still a great number of people who are still digging out, still cutting sheetrock out of their house, removing things, taking things out of their house that once were pretty prized possessions and now just sitting on a street corner waiting for the trash folks to come by and pick up. So a lot of devastation here. It's very widespread, a sad thing to see.
Yes, I can imagine. Hopefully our listeners around the country will contribute however they best are able to. So thank you so much for being on our show. Why don't we begin by, if you would please, tell us about the PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope in Houston, how they began, their purpose, their projects, those kinds of things.
Well, the foundation itself began as a businessman hearing what was going on with our veterans and post-traumatic stress disorder, particularly the suicide rates and divorce rates, broken homes, that type of thing, issues from PTSD. And as a businessman, he wanted to do something about it. And so what we did is began doing warrior support groups, and we run those now across the country from Charlotte to Atlanta to Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, Lake Elsinore, California, going all the way down the coast, Southern California. We're in several places across Texas, including right outside the gate of Fort Hood. And along with those warrior support groups, one of the key aspects of our program makes us so successful is we also run family support groups. We're helping parents, siblings, spouses understand why their Johnny came home from war so differently than he was when he left. And it's our firm belief if we can help the family understand and how to help that situation instead of making it worse or enabling bad decisions, we're going to be far more successful in saving some veterans' lives. And so that's what we do as a foundation. We run those across the country. Camp Hope is the housing portion of our program, and we bring vets in from all across the country. And by the way, I guess you should say that we serve all eras, not just post 9/11. We serve all branches. If it's combat-related PTSD, we'll bring you in. It's basically a six-month program. It's all peer-to-peer based, though we also bring in licensed professional counselors, and of course they all go to the VA and see psychiatrists, psychologists there as well. So they get an awful lot. Costs them absolutely nothing. We house entire families when that is necessary. We don't know of anybody else in the country that will bring in the spouse and the children, but we will, and we've done it many times in the last 5.5 years. And again, it costs them absolutely nothing because it's the people stepping forward and saying we've got to do something to help these men and women who've sacrificed so much for us.
Well, that's awesome. My co-host Richard Hurley, I know, has a few questions. Richard?
Yes. How you doing tonight, David?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Glad you are.
If a veteran contacted your organization for help, what should he or she expect in terms of getting accepted to Camp Hope?
Well, the basic criteria for being accepted into Camp Hope itself, which is, again, our residence program, is, first of all, you have to have your DD-214 that shows you were where you say you were and did what you say you did, a PTSD diagnosis, and a desire to change your life. I just want to quickly say there are a lot of veterans out there who are experiencing symptoms of PTSD, and for a wide variety of reasons, they are afraid to go to the VA and get a diagnosis like PTSD. So if you're experiencing the symptoms of PTSD, you've been in combat zones, and that's the crux of the matter for you, we will help you get to either the VA or a private doctor and get the diagnosis and take you into the program. We're never going to turn somebody away that's in a crisis mode just because they don't have a piece of paper that says, I have PTSD. We'll take them in, work through that period, and help them move forward.
Wow. What is living at Camp Hope like?
Well, it's an intense program. And it's peer-to-peer, so everyone in the program, when you walk into one of our combat support groups, it's all combat vets. They've all been to the same places, done the same things, and it's very peer-to-peer based, so there's a lot of accountability. I tell folks it's not easy. There's no magic wand that we wave. There's no pixie dust that makes it all go away. It's hard work, and one of the things that they're going to do in the course of our program is tell their entire story, their entire life story. And of course, that's a very emotional and intense time building up to that, because they're writing it out, and sometimes it's 50 or 60 pages by the time they're presenting it to the group. But we're firm believers, you have to get it out on the table so we can deal with it and move forward. It's much like if you have cancer diagnosis and you ignore it, the cancer's not going to go away. It's going to end up costing your life or limb. Same is true with something like PTSD. If we don't get it out on the table and deal with it, we're never going to be able to move forward in a healthy way, and it's going to end up costing you something. So day-to-day, they start the day about 6 o'clock in the morning. They do morning chores. We have a gym on our campus. They do some weightlifting, exercising, whatever they care to do for that. We have our PTSD classes. We have, obviously, a wide range of classes that go along with that, including emotional regulation, dealing with conflict, how to write resumes, how to write thank you notes. All those things. Everybody runs the entire gamut while they're with us. And then when they're through, hopefully the goal is they are ready to move out into their own place with a job and with some type of transportation. So that's our end game. That's our goal when we work with these guys.
That's really great. You know, it sounds like and David and I, we deal with a lot of our veterans who are suffering from PTSD, and so many people not familiar with the disorder don't really understand it until you get around these veterans who are, in fact, suffering from it. So what sounds like to me what you're doing, you're almost reintroducing them back into basically a civilization, a non-military lifestyle.
That's, in a nutshell, that's exactly what it is, and helping them address what's keeping them awake at night, what's causing the hypervigilance, and working through that to a point that they know how to deal with it in a much more positive way than just self-medicating and getting into a dark, deep spiral that ends in some terrible statistics. But our belief is many times these guys, they've been in these, we've had Vietnam vets in our program. They've been in this bad mode, unhealthy mode, and sometimes self-medicating mode for years and years. So a weekend retreat or a week-long retreat may be nice, but it's not going to be a lifestyle change. It's not going to be a complete change of how their brain works. That just takes time. So our program is not short, and I would be lying if I told you it was easy. It's not easy. But when you walk out the door, you've got an entirely new outlook on life.
You may have said this before, and I just missed it. But how long is the usual program that a veteran would go through at Camp Hope?
Camp Hope, the ideal of it is about 4 to 6 months. And, of course, it depends on a wide variety of things. The crux of the program is about 4 months, and the last 2 months are really transition. We're working on where do you want to, go to a school? Do you want to start a career? Or what does it look like going back into a home that's somewhat toxic? How do we deal with that? How do we move forward with all those different circumstances? So those things take a little bit of time and a lot of very personal, individualized, one-on-one peer mentoring. So the last couple of months can depend. Some guys are there 7 or 8 months. Some guys are gone in 4 months. It just depends on the individual.
Now, I got to ask you this one question, and I know I asked that, representing veterans, and again, this goes to the misunderstanding of PTSD, because the VA commonly these days tries to reduce a veteran's disability compensation rating from 70% down to 50% down to 30%. And when you read the examiner's opinion, they say, well, the veteran's getting better. And I speak to these veterans every day who are suffering from PTSD. And I've never met one. And they're all coping with society. They're working. They're functioning. And they're contributing to society. But they're not getting better. They might be coping with it better, but they're not getting better. Is that an accurate understanding?
That's our firm belief. We don't believe that there's some cure to it, like there's some point we can say you're cancer-free. We don't believe that's true. What's happened in the brain and that trauma can never be erased. It just can't. But what we do learn, as you mentioned, is we learn how to cope with it in a healthier way, in a better way.
Well, that's amazing, and that's terrific what Camp Hope is doing. If people wanted to support your organization, how can they donate?
Well, obviously, the best way to get that information out is through our website, PTSDUSA.org. There's a support us tab, and there's different ways you can support us, from volunteering to financial support, and you can connect through credit card. You can set that up for an automatic monthly payment if you care to do that. Or there's the mailing address where you can mail checks. For folks that like to write checks and mail them, that all comes straight to us. All that's available through our website, PTSDUSA.org.
Go ahead, David.
I was just going to ask, David, if you could tell us a bit more about these warrior groups that you said are in addition to Camp Hope, if I understood you correctly. Mm-hmm. What are those involved?
On in an area, we have a group, and we have a manual that we work through. It's called the Combat Trauma Healing Manual, and it's in a lot. We've got it to a lot of the VA hospitals around the country. It's very widely accepted and acclaimed, and we work through that book on a weekly basis.
Well, that's super. So we'd like to thank you so much, David, for being on our show tonight. We'd like to thank you for all your great work for veterans, and we wish you the greatest success. We extend an open invitation anytime you'd like to be on our show again to talk about Camp Hope and the foundation. Please let us know. We'll be happy to have you back on our show. So thank you again. Well, Richard, that was very interesting. Sounds like the PTSD Foundation and Camp Hope are doing great work. Again, for more information, please check out their website, PTSDUSA.org. And our next guest tonight is film director and producer Greg Lovett. The film's title is Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers. The film deals with the important issue of open burn pits commonly used in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and which now are suspected of causing large numbers of veterans to suffer various serious health problems due to the numerous toxic substances which were incinerated in those huge burn pits. Mr. Lovett is an American, but he currently lives in Holland. So due to the time zone this difference, we pre-recorded his interview earlier this past week for airing tonight. So at this time, I'll ask our show producer, Doug Newsom, Doug, please roll the tape now of our interview with film director Greg Lovett.
Our special guest on the Veterans News Hour is Greg Lovett. Greg is a media professional with over 30 years' experience in production and management. Greg began his career in the U.S. as a director of the Houston Astros and Houston Oilers, now the Tennessee Titans, their live television broadcasts. After relocating to Holland, Greg set up his own television production company and produced for both Dutch and international broadcasters. Later, he was a founding member of Europe's first pay-per-view platform. He spearheaded the launch of Holland's first broadband internet service, and he managed a startup company that specialized in interactive television and personalized programming. Greg most recently produced and directed the award-winning documentary called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, which tells the story of American soldiers poisoned by open-air burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. So it's our pleasure to welcome Greg Lovett to the Veterans News Hour. Greg, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Greg, let's start. If you could tell us how you got involved in making the burn pits documentary.
Actually, first had interest in this subject when I read a book by Joseph Hickman about 2 years ago. He's written several books about the military, and he did a lot of investigation on this subject. I read a lot of nonfiction anyway, so when I came across the book, it just seemed interesting and was something that I had never heard of. But I didn't really do anything with it. I thought it would make an interesting subject for a documentary, but I figured somebody would make it already. And then about another year went past, so it's now the summer of 2016, and I hadn't heard anything about a documentary. I hadn't seen anything about a documentary, so I just thought, well, let me see if I can't make it myself.
Oh, that's great. For those in our listening audience, some of them served in Iraq and Afghanistan, some did not. Can you tell us maybe some basics about the burn pits, the open-air burn pits that were used by our military in Iraq and Afghanistan, such as, you know, how many were they? Were they common? How large were they? What kinds of materials were burned in them? Those sorts of things.
Well, my understanding is that every base had a burn pit. There was, I believe, over 240 in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the burn pit is basically just a dump, just a hole in the ground. The military didn't really know what to do with all the garbage that was being produced by the soldiers that were stationed at these various bases. And so what they decided to do was they decided to burn it. They did have other options, but burning was probably the cheapest and the easiest to accomplish. So all the garbage that was produced on the military base from, everything, plastic, rubber, metals, medical waste, up to and including amputated body parts,
wow,
were just thrown into these big dumps and set on fire with jet fuel. And some of them were small, depending on the size of the base, but some of them were huge. Some of them were the size of 10 football fields.
Wow.
And burned 24 hours a day. And so they would release this, obviously, black smoke filled with all the toxins that they're producing from burning this plastic and this metal and everything. And soldiers talk about how it was just commonplace. You actually had to dust yourself off from all the ash that was falling on you from the burn pits. And this went on for years and years.
Wow. Wow. So some of these were as large, you said, as multiple football fields in size, correct?
Yeah, some of them were just gigantic. Balad in Iraq, I believe, housed around 40,000 soldiers. And each one of them, they calculated, is producing about 9 pounds of trash a day. So do a quick calculation. But what is 20 or 30,000 times 9? I mean, it's hundreds
right.
and thousands of pounds worth of garbage per day. And
wow.
Everything, literally everything, was burned.
Wow. So what are the veterans now saying that their health problems are as a result of that exposure to the burn pit smoke and the soot? And any idea how many veterans have been affected?
Well, everybody I talked to mentioned what they called the Iraqi crud. Everybody got sick at one point or another while they were there. Not always serious, and some more than others, but they started noticing symptoms already when they were in Iraq and Afghanistan from breathing in the toxic smoke. But the serious illnesses really start years later when you get back home. And those can range from respiratory illnesses to terminal cancer. And upwards of 100,000 are sick. The government finally started an online registry so soldiers can sign up and enter information about themselves and their symptoms if they believe that they are related to the burn pits. And there's about 80,000 people in the registry right now. So we're talking tens of thousands of soldiers.
Wow. And in addition to that that registry that you talked about, how else would you describe the military's response? And maybe related to that, how did you pick the title of the film?
Well, the title of the film actually refers pretty much to the military and the U.S. government's response to this issue. One of the soldiers that I interviewed, Sergeant Daniel Diaz out of Oklahoma City, he mentioned specifically that the VA should change their motto to delay, deny, hope you die. And it pretty much applies to how most of the soldiers feel with regards to the way that they've been treated. The government, through the VA, first of all, denies that there's any link between burn pit toxins and illness. So it's very difficult for soldiers to be treated. It's very difficult for them to get the health care that they need. It's very difficult for them to get any kind of medicine. And they believe that the government is, well, pretty much stalling, much as they did with Agent Orange in the days of Vietnam. It took decades before the government acknowledged illnesses that were caused by Agent Orange. And the soldiers believe that the pattern is repeating itself, that they're just trying to hold off until these soldiers die, and then the government won't have to pay anything anymore. Because right now they're looking at billions and billions of dollars of health costs if they acknowledge the link between burn pits and illness, and so they're just stalling.
Wow. So I would assume that one of the major goals of the film is to bring awareness, perhaps light a fire, no pun intended, under the VA. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the only thing that I can do, you know, in my profession is try to create awareness for the issue. My experience is that many people don't even know that this exists. A lot of soldiers that I talked to didn't know that it existed. They knew that they were sick or that they had some kind of health issues, but they didn't necessarily put the link together about, you know, about the burn pits. So I'm hoping that, you know, I can just start to create some awareness, because there's a whole lot of things, you know, too many that we can talk about that, that kind of went on behind the scenes as well. For example, one of the private companies that was charged with managing some of these burn pits was a company called KBR, Kellogg Brown and Root. And they were at the time a subsidiary of Halliburton. Well, to begin with, they got the contract from Dick Cheney when he was vice president under Bush, and Dick Cheney used to be CEO of Halliburton. So it was a no-bid contract. Halliburton got the assignment to manage some of these burn pits without any competition whatsoever, first of all. They then passed it down to their daughter company, KBR. And KBR disregarded the contracts that they had. I've seen the contracts with the military in which they were required to manage the burn pits as if it was United States soil, and according to EPA regulations, which include not burning plastic, not burning metal, not burning those kinds of things. And the whole issue of the politics behind the scenes, and there's been a lawsuit going on against KBR for about 8 years, and that hasn't been resolved. So there's a lot more issues besides just the poisoning itself. It's all the, you know, the backroom politics that, that goes on that really drives you crazy.
I see. Tell us what it was like actually making your this film. What were your personal impressions from this experience?
Well, you know, I mean, it was enlightening. I mean, we all know that, you know, things don't always go the way they're supposed to go. We all know that contracts are not always honored. We all know that politics plays a part sometimes in, you know, regulation or non-regulation or who gets what job. But when you're actually doing research and you're actually speaking to the people, it's really kind of, you know, mind-blowing. What the lawyer, for example, who, or one of the lawyers who represents the soldiers in the lawsuit against KBR, actually now works full-time suing KBR because
wow.
the burn pits were just one area in which they failed. They were also responsible for electricity on certain bases, and they electrocuted soldiers in the shower. They were responsible for water purification, and they poisoned soldiers. So they're being sued all over the place, and they cannot be punished because when they got the contract from the government, Dick Cheney gave them an indemnification. So it doesn't really matter if the soldiers win the lawsuit or not. KBR is not going to pay. The money's going to come from the American taxpayer.
Wow.
Wow, you know, that's pretty incredible. Frustrating when you hear that, those kinds of things. It's just, you know, besides the fact that they made people sick, is, you know, the whole, you know, it's just the unfairness of it all.
Well, it sounds like the seeds for some more documentaries, Greg.
Yeah, really. I got to sell this one first.
Yeah, so, Greg, I understand that the world premiere showing for the film is set for October the 9th in Los Angeles. Can you tell us perhaps more about that? How can people get tickets? What's the future plan as far as the distribution of the film, those kinds of things?
Well, we're actually distributing film on what they call a crowdfunding basis. That means that I can option a cinema for a specific date, but that the screening is actually only guaranteed if we sell enough tickets in advance. So I really need the help of your audience, of veterans, of families of veterans, to go to my Facebook page, which is obviously facebook.com/burnpitsdocumentary. It's just one long word, burnpitsdocumentary. Now, they click on the banner. It says, you know, buy your tickets here. They'll get a list of, you know, the options that we have available at that moment. One is in Los Angeles on October 9th, and we just added another one yesterday in Tucson on October 12th. And I really need everybody to go, you know, to a location that's close to them. We'll be adding new locations in the coming weeks, and buy tickets in advance, because without selling these tickets, I won't be able to bring the documentary to your city, and we won't be able to create the awareness. So if people just go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/burnpitsdocumentary. I also would like to give, in honor of the official premiere in Los Angeles, I'd also like to give away 5 tickets to your listeners. So if anybody is listening to this right now and they live in the Los Angeles area, they can purchase a ticket, as I just said. And if they go to my Facebook page and send me a personal message with a copy of their receipt, I'll give them another ticket. I'll match their ticket so they can buy one and get one free. But as I said, other people, we're going to be coming to, our plan is to come to Washington and Houston and New Orleans and New York. We're optioning cinemas in these areas now, South Florida, Columbus, Ohio. We've got an option going. And these options will all be made known in a couple weeks. And it's going to be really up to the people to decide if they want to see this documentary. I don't need to sell a lot of tickets. It's usually only about 75 per city, but I really need people to get motivated and get out there and buy the tickets so that we can bring the film to these different locations across the country.
Well, that's great. And our show is broadcast every Monday night, so our interview will be broadcast on Monday, September the 11th. But I wanted to mention, Greg, that 2 days ago, on our September the 4th show, I mentioned that we were going to have you on the show and that people can order tickets at the website tug.com, T-U-G-G.com.
That's correct as well.
And yeah. I encouraged our listeners that even if they did not live in Los Angeles, because I wasn't aware of the Tucson thing yet, so I was really promoting the Los Angeles showing on October the 9th, that our listeners could buy tickets and donate them to, I mean, there are literally
sure.
dozens of veteran groups in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And they're very easy to find. American Legion, VFW, DAV, the list goes on and on. Supporters that want to help get the word out can do that in a number of different ways. So, and we look forward to, I'm in the Tampa, Florida area, and there's a very large military and veteran population in the state of Florida. So hopefully we can get the film here in multiple locations, North Florida, Central, Mid Florida, and Southern Florida. The whole it's a large state, obviously. I can talk to you at some point.
In fact, the way it works with this organization that you mentioned, Tug.com, it's actually quite interesting because anybody who wants to screen the film can actually do it. I have some people on the ground that I'm working with in specific cities, and that's why I'm kind of taking the lead in certain cities. But the fact is that anybody who's listening right now, if they want to see the film in their hometown, they can go to tug.com and just, that's two G's, T-U-G-G.com. And they can follow directions to host a screening. If they think they can meet the minimum number of tickets, which is usually around 75. So even if you're living in some city that I may not know of, you know, maybe you're in the middle of nowhere in Idaho or something, and I wouldn't necessarily think of coming there. If you think you can sell 75 tickets, you can go to Tug and you can request a screening, and you can kind of go out and mobilize your community. So that's one of the disadvantages of crowdfunding, is that you're completely dependent on anybody and everybody else. But one of the advantages also is that anybody can get involved and hold a screening if they want to. So if people want to do that, they can go to tug.com and they can host tours. Like somebody wants to do it in Tampa, they can just go sign up and start promoting it in Tampa. So anybody can really do that. So that's pretty cool too.
Oh, super. Thanks for pointing that out, Greg. I wasn't aware of that. So for our listeners, again, you can go to facebook.com and it's Burn Pits Documentary, and also website of tug.com, T-U-G-G.com. Greg, I think what you've done is a tremendously important public service by making this film. I'd like to thank you so much for being on our show tonight. Before we wrap up, any last thoughts you'd like to share with us?
No, I think I covered everything. The only thing I would say is, you know, go out and buy a ticket. And as you said, if you're not living in Los Angeles or Phoenix yet, you can either request a screening yourself, or we'll be adding cities. And like you said, you can also buy tickets and gift them to people in these cities. That would also help guarantee that the screenings take place. But, you know, we really need to go out there and work together and try to create awareness for this important issue.
It is. And thanks again, Greg. We wish you and the film the greatest of success. Thanks for being on our show.
Well, that was awesome. And we'd like to thank Greg Lovett for that interview. As he said, you can find out more about that along with some trailers to the film on Facebook.com. Type in Burn Pits Documentary. What I'd like to add to what Greg mentioned is that since the interview, they've been adding more cities, including Las Vegas, Phoenix, Tucson. You can check all those out on the website tug.com. There are also plans in the works to bring the film to many other cities and states, including multiple cities in Florida, including Tampa in mid-October, and Brandon, Florida, tentatively set for November 1st. As Greg Lovett said, the shows are based on crowdfunding, so they depend on a certain minimum number of tickets being sold. If you're interested in hosting or promoting a showing in your town, go to the website tug.com. That's T-U-G-G.com. And also, I'd like to add that I have a limited number of free tickets to the Los Angeles premiere showing. And if you're interested in that and you're in the Los Angeles area for Monday, October the 9th, 7:30 p.m. showing, give me a call. My number, and this is David Corey, my number is area code 813-662-0760. Again, area code 813-662-0760. Give me a call and get a free ticket while they last. So over to you, Richard.
Hey, good stuff, David. Great interview. We've really had a lot of really good guests of late, and that includes our next week's show on September 18th. Our guest will be Brandon Mixon, the co-founder and director of facilities of the Veterans Community Project, VCP, based in Kansas City, Missouri. VCP is a 501c3 Missouri nonprofit corporation founded by Kansas City veterans who are frustrated by rampant homelessness throughout the veteran community. The Veterans Community Project, or VCP, is on a mission to eliminate veteran homelessness by providing transitional housing and enabling access to exceptional 360-degree service solutions. Focusing first in the greater Kansas City area, VCP aspires to use Kansas City as the blueprint for achieving similar successes in cities across the United States. VCP has a long-term goal of eliminating veteran homelessness nationwide. So we're looking forward to having Brandon Mixon on our show next week, Monday, September the 18th. Meanwhile, you can find out more about the Veterans Community Project, VCP, of Kansas City at its website, veteranscommunityproject.org. What else is up next, David?
Well, in 2 weeks from tonight, our September 25th show, our special guests will be two of the directors of the Costs of War Project based at Brown University. Our guests will be Professor Catherine Lutz of Brown University and Professor Netta Crawford of Boston University. Now, the Cost of War Project is a team of 35 scholars, legal experts, human rights practitioners, and physicians, which began its work in 2011. I'm very excited about that show, so please mark your calendars. You will not be disappointed. That'll be September 25th here on BBS Radio Station 1, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, check out their website, which is costsofwar.org, costsofwar.org. It'll be a great show. Back to you, Richard.
Also, we are in the process of lining up special guests for the first two Mondays in October. However, we can definitely confirm that our guest on Monday, October the 16th, will be one of the preeminent veterans law attorneys and veterans advocates in the country, John D. Wells. John is the executive director of a nonprofit organization called Military Veterans Advocacy. He will be on our October 16th show to discuss up-to-date news from Washington, since he will be spending parts of the next month in Washington lobbying members of Congress and meeting with VA officials to discuss veterans issues. That should also be another excellent show. How about October the 30th, David?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our October the 30th show. Monday, October 30th, our special guest will be internationally acclaimed and award-winning filmmaker Rick Burns, who will talk about his soon-to-be-released documentary entitled VA, The Human Costs of War. His film is due to be released in early November on PBS, so stay tuned for the specific date on PBS very soon. Many of you are already familiar, no doubt, with Rick Burns' career, but they include a famous eight-part series called New York, a documentary film, as well as producing and directing a number of historical documentaries over the last 2.5 decades since his collaboration on the famous PBS series called The Civil War back in 1990, which he produced with his brother Ken Burns and co-wrote with Jeffrey C. Ward. Since starting Steeplechase Films in 1989, Rick Burns has directed some of the most distinguished programs on PBS. Back to you, Richard.
Yep, the upcoming Rick Burns documentary on the Department of Veterans Affairs will be another excellent documentary that veterans will want to see, and their families want to see it, and civilians need to see it. I mean, people need to see what's going on at the VA. You hear a lot of stories. You hear David and I talk about the VA. We're not big fans of the VA. You read articles about it. You see the legislation that's coming out of D.C. You need to know what's going on at the Department of Veteran Affairs. It's a very important part of our government. It's the second highest budget for the government, and so you need to look at what's going on. On November the 6th, we have another guest, Vietnam veteran Brian Wizard, who is an accomplished writer, artist, and filmmaker. And on the sixth, the show will discuss his experiences in Vietnam and his life since the war and how he has coped with PTSD with writing, art, music, and film. Brian appeared on our show in May, but we will be back on November 6th to continue where we left off. So we hope our listeners will be sure to tune into our shows every Monday night for these and other guests. On that note, if you have a topic you'd like to hear more about or a particular guest to suggest to us, please let us know. Our contact information, including phone numbers and email addresses, are available on our show's website, which is bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour. And before I turn it back to you, David, in the last 24 hours, I had the opportunity of going out and trying to help some of our veterans find shelter as Hurricane Irma came in like a storm. And it's amazing how many homeless veterans there are out there. And I urge people listening to this broadcast that they take time to, when they see a veteran who may appear to be homeless, and they're out there and they're very easy to spot. Some live in the woods. Some are just buried somewhere in the city. Do what you can to help them find a place to put their head, as opposed to sleeping on a rock or a cement slab somewhere in the streets of the city. They need your help, and they just need a hand to guide them to some place where they can get a comfortable bed, maybe something hot to eat. It was very enlightening over the last 24 hours. So let's see what we can do to help our vets. Back to you, David.
Yes, thanks. And I'd like to remind our listeners that on next week's show, September the 18th, our guest will be Mr. Brandon Mixon, Army veteran himself, and the co-founder and director of facilities of the Veterans Community Project based in Kansas City, Missouri. They have an excellent program, and their main goal is to eliminate veteran homelessness and offer full range of services to help those veterans. So please tune in next week. We're rapidly approaching the end of tonight's show. It seems like another quick show, but we'd like to provide our regular reminder about the VA's Coaching into Care program. It's very important. Basically this: if you're a family member of a veteran who's left the service and is having a tough time transitioning to civilian life, please be aware of the VA's program called Coaching into Care. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a really tough adjustment, and loved ones can help the veteran in that transition. That's where Coaching into Care, that program, offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call. Toll free, 1-888-823-7458, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, the VA's Coaching into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. And in addition, I would like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is in a crisis of any kind or is suicidal, the VA also has a Veterans Crisis Line to help 24/7. And their number, the Veterans Crisis Line number, is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Again, 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans tragically have taken their lives because they didn't get the help they needed when they needed it. So help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Well, it's been another quick show. It's time for us to go for this evening. We would like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. We hope you enjoyed the interviews tonight with Mr. David Malsby of the PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope. We'd also hope you enjoy the interview of film director and producer Greg Lovett. And be sure to check that film out, the information on the Facebook page. I'd like to again thank our show sponsors, including American Legion Post 303, Mr. Charles Newman of Florida, and Corey and Hurley Law Group, which represents veterans nationwide in disability cases involving the VA and personnel actions involving the military. So for more information about the law firm, check out the website Corey and Hurley Law Group. .com. That's CoreyandHurley lawgroup.com. CoreyandHurleyLawGroup.com. We'd also like to thank our great producer here at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. We'd like to invite listeners to become show guests, sponsors, and advertisers. Our contact information is on our show's website, bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. That's bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. You can also find archived podcasts of our prior shows for your benefit, which I think is an outstanding resource. We've had an excellent variety of guests since the start of the show at the beginning of the year, and we offer those archived podcasts for your benefit and enjoyment. So that's our show for tonight, September the 11th. We hope that you will tune in next week at the same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week, and good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.